Well, our reflection this morning during this time of Eucharistic adoration will be on discipline. And since this is Holy Trinity Parish, I divided the reflections into three parts. The first part is discipline in general. The second is daily disciplines of our spiritual life. And third, how to discipline or teach our children. Now, first, what is the definition of discipline in general? Well, in general, discipline is the ability to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not. That is discipline. Now, discipline is the key to success, okay? It's the key to success spiritually, physically, in your job, in your workplace. Think of the great people who've been successful in the history of mankind or in the history of our country. Think of Olympic athletes. Think of sports stars. Think of those who excel in music or teaching or playing an instrument, being a doctor. What is at the basis of their success? It is discipline. The discipline to do what you know you should do, whether you feel like it or not, whether you like it or not, and to do that when you should do it. The opposite of discipline is procrastination, which I'm sure all of us are guilty of. Procrastination is putting off what we know we should do when we should do it. So the word discipline comes from the Latin word discipuli, which means being a student, being a pupil, being a learner. So the disciples of Christ, they were students of Christ, the 12 disciples who became known as the 12 apostles. And the Lord told the disciples that they needed discipline to follow him. They said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow in my footsteps. The disciples of Christ need discipline in their spiritual life, to deny themselves, to take up their daily crosses, and to follow Christ. Think of the sacrifices that people make to become successful in the world. You think of the Olympic athletes and how for years they practice, week after week, month after month, year after year. And think of how much discipline they put into that to win a gold medal or a silver medal or a bronze medal. These things will eventually corrode and go back to the dust from which they came. How much more should we put time and effort into our spiritual life, into our relationship with Almighty God? So we should be inspired by these people who spend so much time and effort, for example, to excel in sports, in football, in baseball, in soccer, in golf, in tennis, the hundreds of hours of hidden sacrifices, day after day, week after week, to excel in something worldly. Should we not put that same effort to excel spiritually, to try to do what St. Therese the Little Flower says, to love God as he has never yet been loved, to love God more and more each day? If you've had a wonderful teacher growing up, they were a great teacher because they had gone through the courses and disciplined themselves by reading and study to be able to present that knowledge in a powerful way. Think of doctors who study 8 years to be able to do brain surgery or quadruple bypass surgery. How did they get to where they are? It was those daily disciplines, hidden disciplines, the studies, the practice, the internships, to be able to excel, to learn an instrument. I recently went to a classical music concert, and I think the lady might have been in her 30s. She had been playing the violin since she was 2 years old. Imagine that, since she was 2 years old. So what was the basis of her success? It was discipline. We need proper discipline to have good health, to have proper weight, to do anything successfully. So these hundreds of hours of hidden sacrifices make the difference. You might not think that one particular day might make a difference, but if you add day upon day, week upon week, month upon month, it makes a big difference. One analogy is a string. If you look at a string, it's very easy to break that string. But put 2 strings together, 5 strings together, 100 strings together, you can't break that. You can pull all you want. You cannot break that. Those are disciplines. Those are good habits. If each one of those habits is a string, you put those together one after week after week, year after year, they become a virtue. Okay, habits lead to virtue. There's the saying, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. What a powerful thought that is, that our thoughts lead to actions, which lead to habits, which lead to character, which lead to destiny, ultimately, either in heaven or in hell, ultimately. So what does it begin with? It begins with our thoughts. Good holy thoughts or sinful thoughts? Good holy thoughts lead to virtue and holiness. Evil thoughts to vice and to sin. And remember that the seeds that will eventually grow into hell are sin and vice. Those are the seeds that blossom into hell. Virtue, goodness, holiness are the seeds that blossom into heaven. So we become what we dwell upon. We become what we think about. The saint thought about love of God and love of neighbor. Those in prison thought about stealing. Those who robbed the bank robbed it because they first thought about robbing the bank. Those who work for the poor are working for the poor because that was their idea. And that idea grew, it germinated, and became an apostolate or a ministry. So when we look at discipline in general, we see that it is really the key to success. And just as each one of those strings can become stronger and stronger day after day by adding more and more, so the same thing happens with a bad habit, with vice, with sinfulness. Those strings that might not seem that much at once, but done again and again and again, become like that cable you cannot break. What has to happen is that through God's grace, sometimes He can come into our lives and just cut that bad habit. We've heard about this, those with addictions, let's say, to alcohol. God can work miracles. He can come in with His machete and just cut that addiction, and people give up alcohol cold turkey, whatever their addiction might be. St. Paul, for example, was sort of had his cable sliced by the Lord and the road to Emmaus. Other people, Matt Talbot and others, had dramatic conversion experiences. But oftentimes it doesn't happen that way. What has to happen is one by one, you have to take off those strings, one by one, okay? Through virtue and through good habits and by avoiding these evil habits and sins. So again, discipline is at the root of all spiritual success, physical success, in any field that we can imagine. So the big, let's say, the opposite of discipline is procrastination. And we need to overcome procrastination. One way to do that is to always tell yourself, do it now. Do it now. Do it now. For example, when you wake up in the morning, give your first thoughts to God. So do it now. When you want to do an act of charity, do it now. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Now, the second aspect, or the second topic in the talk, is the daily disciplines that we need to grow spiritually. The daily disciplines of our spiritual life. When we read the lives of the saints, we can write down some of the things they did. If we do what they did, we will become holy as well. The saints gave their first thoughts to God when they woke up in the morning. They made the sign of the cross. Many of them got down by their bedside and fell upon their knees and adored God by saying their morning prayers on their knees. Making the morning offering is a day perfectly begun, dedicating the day to God, giving your first thoughts to God when you wake up in the morning, offering that heroic moment to the Lord. As Monsignor Escriva said, that moment when we wake up, that's the heroic moment, to wake up, to dedicate our day to God. Bishop Sheen once said, as you know, there are two types of people that wake up in the morning. The first type says, "Good morning, God." The second one says, "Good God, morning." Okay? So make sure you're a good morning, God kind of person. Give your first thoughts to God. Dedicate your day to God. Now, the daily disciplines of the spiritual life would also include, if at all possible, daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. Frank Duff said that if we really want to become saints, we should put that first in our life. Make time for daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. The Lord says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not only does that mean all that we need materially and physically, but it means all we need spiritually, our super substantial bread, the Eucharist. That when we say the Our Father, we should be praying for the grace to go to daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. When we go to Mass every day, we hear almost the entire Bible being read to us on a 2-year cycle. If you go to Sunday Mass, you hear it on a 3-year cycle. But imagine how well we should know the Bible by going to Mass every day. Every 2 years, hearing the majority of the Bible. So daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. St. Pius X said it's the shortest, the quickest, the easiest way to become a saint. Daily Mass and daily Holy Communion. That's why he lowered the age of communion from about 12 down to about 8, so the children who would reach the age of reason would be able to receive the Lord as soon as possible and as early as possible. Another discipline of the spiritual life should be daily prayer. Ask yourself, if you ate as much as you prayed, how hungry would you be? If you're only allowed to eat as much as you prayed, how hungry would you be? Would your soul be well nourished, or would it be malnourished? Would you be hungry? Would you be starving? Ask yourself, how are you doing with your prayer life, your relationship with the Lord, your interior life of prayer? 2 suggestions for improving your prayer life. 1, the Liturgy of the Hours. Praying the Liturgy of the Hours, the prayer of the Church, the official prayer of the Church. Praying the same prayers that Jesus prayed, that Mary prayed, that St. Joseph prayed, the Psalms, King David, and all the great figures of Scripture would read and pray the Psalms. When we pray the Liturgy of the Hours, we are allowing Christ to pray through us to the Father in the official public prayer of the Church. And then secondly, the Holy Rosary. Pray the Rosary every day. Our Blessed Mother didn't ask us a whole lot, but she did ask us at Fatima to pray the Rosary every day for world peace. We need peace in our world. We need peace in our families, peace in our marriages, peace in our hearts. Pray the Rosary every day for world peace. You know, last week we had the reading from Scripture about Christ driving out the money changers from the temple, and he made a cord, he made a whip, and he drove out the money changers. Well, I think that the Rosary is that cord that drives out the money changers in our soul, right? We invite Jesus to come in the Blessed Mother, and drive out the sins, venial, mortal sins, through confession. The Rosary is that cord that we pray that can drive out evil, that can drive out sinfulness. Remember, the Rosary is like David's sling against Goliath. In our society, we have many Goliaths. We have abortion, we have terrorism, immorality, all these things. Our Rosary is our spiritual weapon. It is our slingshot against evil. It might not seem like much, but did David's sling seem like much? It didn't look like much. People started laughing when David pulled out the sling, but who's laughing now, right? Goliath wasn't laughing. Okay. So the rosary is that sling. So isn't it interesting that he picked up five smooth stones from the creek bed? Well, the five decades of the rosary. Remember, a decade a day keeps the devil away. So we have to make sure that we are praying that rosary every day. Remember the t-shirt that said, call your mother, pray the rosary, your blessed mother hasn't heard from you in decades. So the rosary and the liturgy of the hours. Now, another daily discipline of the spiritual life should be spiritual reading. 15 minutes a day, spiritual reading. It's so valuable. Reading scripture is the best. Reading the lives of the saints comes right after that. They say reading scripture is like music on a page. Reading the lives of the saints is music heard, music sung. Because the saints lived out the scriptures. They enfleshed the scriptures. They lived it out in a very visible, practical way. As lawyers, doctors, nurses, moms, dads, priests, nuns. So spiritual reading, 15 minutes a day, spiritual reading. Never miss that. If you read 15 minutes a day, in a month you'll have read one book. In 12 months, 12 books. 10 years, 120 books on your Catholic faith, on your spiritual faith. Now, if you can increase that to 1 hour a day, I would recommend that. If you could read in your special subject, whatever it might be, 1 hour a day, as you know, will make you an expert, a national expert in 3 years, an international expert in 5 years. Just by reading 1 hour a day in any field, whatever it might be. Why not spend 15 minutes a day or 1 hour a day reading in your Catholic faith? Your soul is worth it. Your relationship with God is worth it. Spiritual reading, they say, is like priming the pump. Remember in the old days, in the old log cabins, you tried to pump up the water and nothing came out. Well, you put a little bit of water in and then you can prime the pump. Spiritual reading is priming the pump. It gets our prayer life kicked into high gear. It helps tremendously. Now, in this day and age, we also have to bring up spiritual listening. Spiritual listening. Make use of your time in your car. Many people don't even know if their car radios work because they're always listening to Bishop Sheen, to Mother Teresa, Mother Angelica, Scott Hahn. They're listening to the great speakers that we have in the Catholic Church today. Like these Lighthouse CDs that we have. Catholic Lighthouse has over 70 CDs available. And you can listen to them and deepen your faith. I had dinner last night with a young couple. He's an RCIA. He's been married to his Catholic wife for 5 years. She's a Presbyterian. And for years, you know, we encouraged him to maybe consider RCIA. And he didn't do it. But this year he joined RCIA. I said, what got you to join RCIA? He said, those CDs in the back of church. Every week he would pick up a CD. He'd listen to it when he's driving his car to work. And when he heard these conversion stories, when he heard Father Carapi's conversion, Scott Hahn, Stephen Ray, David Curry, when he began hearing these Protestant ministers and their conversions, that's what did it. He said, that's what converted him through God's grace. So spiritual listening. Remember the cassette tapes. They've all been probably replaced by CDs. But listening to tapes, listening to CDs. I tell people, don't just be a bookworm, become a tapeworm. Right? Listen to tapes. Listen to tapes in the car. Listen to CDs. Everybody's very busy. Sometimes it's hard to get that 15 minutes or an hour a day in spiritual reading. That's okay. Listen in your car when you're driving. In this area, we have very well-educated people, Northern Virginia. And if you listen to CDs in your car, it can make a dramatic difference. UCLA did a study that if the average person drives between 10,000 and 25,000 miles a year, if they listen to books on tape or cassette tapes, 1 year of sitting in traffic listening to tapes is equivalent to 1 year of a college education. Imagine that. 4 years of listening to tapes or CDs in the car, equivalent to a 4-year college education. That's amazing. As you know, it's the greatest invention since the printing press, is the cassettes and the CDs. Now also with the daily disciplines of the spiritual life, so besides your prayer life, your daily mass, spiritual reading, spiritual listening, and dedicating your day to God in the morning, should be at night making an examination of conscience and an act of contrition, because you never know if you're going to wake up the next day. So your last prayer should be the act of contrition. See, many of the saints have said that we should always look upon sleep as a prerequisite for death or a foreshadowing of death. Actually, you know, many saints even slept in coffins, believe it or not. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't think your husband will go for that. But many of the saints, just to bring that point home, would get into their coffin every night and sleep because they wanted to remind themselves of death. Remember death. Now, Frank Duff said that in his book, Can We Be Saints? He says, think about death. Think about judgment. Think about eternity. Many of the saints said, if you think about death, you will never sin. If you think about death. So it's a powerful thing. So make an examination of conscience every night and make an act of contrition every night. Those are the bookends of the spiritual life. Morning offering and act of contrition. The bookends will keep your spiritual life from falling down. Those two things have to be in place. Remember, praying in the morning is so important. St. John Vianney says that you'll get the graces for your day in the morning. But God will give you the grace you need for that day through your morning prayer. So pray. Now with daily mass and communion and these other daily disciplines should be regular confession. Regular confession, I would say at least monthly. If you're really trying to grow in holiness, you should go to confession once a month. Balance your spiritual checkbook each month. Give your soul a spiritual shower each month. And with confession, of course, if you want to gain the plenary indulgence, which you can gain every day for yourself or for a soul in purgatory, go to confession every 2 weeks. A very good idea. Now we come to the last part of our talk today, and that is discipline by parents toward their children. And one thought to remember whenever you're disciplining your children, and of course I think when people think discipline, they think of punishment, but don't forget the original meaning of the word discipline. It means to teach, to educate, to form. So discipline, first and foremost, is a way of teaching. Now, one principle to remember is that the more obedient you are to God, the more obedient your children will be to you. So if you're obedient to God and the laws of God, the laws of the faith, the laws of the church, the Ten Commandments, the precepts of the church, if you're obedient to God, then it's going to be a lot easier for your children to be obedient to you. If you're disobeying God's law or God's teaching, well, it'll be much easier for them to be disobedient towards you. So how do you discipline your children? Discipline? Well, what you want to do is develop in them good habits. Remember, sow a thought, reap an action. Actions lead to habits. Habits to character. Character to destiny. So your job is to form your children to develop good habits. Good habits. Remember, good habits are hard to form but easy to live with. Bad habits are easy to form but hard to live with. Okay, give you some examples. Some bad habits are easy to form, aren't they? You know, using God's name in vain, drinking, smoking, those are easy to do, but over a course of a lifetime they'll make your life very difficult. But think of smoking, for example, and cancer, or think of alcohol and the problems it causes in marriages and with health problems. See, bad habits are very easy to pick up, aren't they? But they make your life very difficult in the long run. Good habits are harder to form, but make your life so much easier. So it's much harder to, for example, to develop a good habit. Let's say like eating fruit instead of candy. But over the long run, you're going to be much better off 5 years from now, 10 years from now. As Jim Rohn says, an apple a day keeps a doctor away. He says, what if that's true? He said, that would be easy to do, right? An apple a day. Well, it's also not easy to eat an apple a day. It's easy not to eat an apple a day. But it is actually easy to eat an apple a day. What if somebody got that wrong and said a Hershey bar a day? Okay? Now, it wouldn't seem to make much difference after one day, right? If you had a Hershey bar that day. But what if you did it a second day and a third day, and you did it for a month, and you did it for a year, and you did it for 5 years? Would that make a difference? An apple a day versus a Hershey bar a day? That would make a big difference. Does it make a difference, let's say, to waste $5 a day? Well, it doesn't make a big difference after one day, but $5 a day for a month or for a year or for 5 years, that's the difference between being in the poorhouse or being financially stable versus, let's say, saving $5 a day. When you save $5 in one day, it doesn't seem to make a difference. But at $5 a day over the course of months or years, that can make a big difference in the lives of people. So you want to develop in your children good habits. Good habits. For example, the habit of reading rather than watching television. The habit of eating good food rather than junk food. The habit of going to the nursing home, taking the kids to the nursing home to visit the elderly. See, these are good habits that you want to develop in your children when they're young. And then you'll set them for life. Don't forget the importance of spending time with your children. They say you have to spend time with your children at some point during your life, either when they're young forming them or when they're older visiting them in prison. Okay? So you got to spend time with them here sooner or later, right? As the Midas Muffler said, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. So you have to spend time with your kids either now or later. And they also say be very nice to your children. They'll be choosing your nursing home. Right? So make sure you're very nice to them, to your children. Okay, so you want your children to develop good habits of speaking the truth, not telling lies, being nice to their brothers and sisters, even something as simple as making the bed. These are good disciplines that will set them up for the future. They say that executives that don't clean out their garage aren't going to be able to clean out their company. Right? If they have a messy garage, that's a sign that the books in the company might be a little bit messy. So look at the disciplines, and everything counts. Everything matters. And so let the children know as well that you have to form them to teach them to develop good habits and to discipline themselves. See, right, when children are very young, they don't have the ability to discipline themselves. That's why you have to discipline them by teaching them and forming them and molding them. But you're only supposed to do that until they have developed the self-discipline to discipline themselves. That's the key. And that's what you want. That's what you want with your children. You want to raise happy, healthy, holy children. That's what you want. Now, teach them, of course, right from wrong. What's right and what's wrong? With the Ten Commandments. And children need boundaries. They do need limits. Look at a football game. Every sport has limits. The football field is not 5 miles long and 5 miles wide. There are limits. It's 100 yards or 300 yards by whatever. So you have boundaries. You have limits. We need limits. Children need limits as well that they can be more comfortable in. They might not see that, but deep inside, they do want some limit, that they know that they can act in appropriate ways, but they cannot act in inappropriate ways. So just as there are, lines in a football field or a soccer field or a baseball field, that some things are fair and some things are foul, some things are good, some things are bad. So you need to set up the boundaries of behavior for the children to teach them right from wrong. And also make sure that you as parents have the proper balance of love and limits. Some parents are very big on love and low on limits. That could cause problems. Some are big on limits and low on love. That can cause problems. What you want is the balance of love and limits, of rules and relationship. As they say, rules without a relationship leads kids to rebellion. Rules with a relationship leads them to responding. So what you want to do, of course, is to have that proper balance. You don't want to be a dictator, you don't want to be autocratic, but you want a relational aspect with your children, so that the rules that you have, the guidelines that you have, the boundaries that you have, they will respond to because of that relationship. See, the children have to know that you love them. You have to tell them again and again that you love them, that you're proud of them, that you have great positive expectations for them, that you know that they'll do amazing things in their life with God's grace and God's help. That you as parents will water their virtues rather than their weeds. So when you see your child being punctual or being generous or being kind, you praise that. And you're taking like a bucket of water and you're watering their flowers. You're watering their virtues. Don't water their weeds. Don't reinforce, oh, you're so messy, you're so shy, you're so unkind, you're so uncharitable. You don't want to pour water to water their weeds. You want to water their flowers, water their virtues, so that they become more virtuous and more holy. And so don't forget to show affection to your children. As you know, one author said, kids need 4 hugs a day for survival, 8 hugs a day for mental health, and 12 hugs a day for emotional growth. So make sure you're giving your kids the 12 hugs a day. Remember, kids spell love, T-I-M-E, spending time with them. That's how you show them that you love them. You know, spend time with the children individually as well as all together. That individual time with the kids is very helpful as well. What you want to do in your home is to create an environment where the children are respected. Read the writings of Maria Montessori. She received many awards from the popes in the early part of the last century because her writing about the dignity of the human person. John Paul II talked about this a lot. The dignity of the human person. So what you want to do is create in your child somebody who really realizes that they are a child of God. One of the big problems why kids get into drugs, alcohol, and promiscuity is because they don't understand their dignity as a child of God. They have very low self-worth, self-dignity. And because of that, they're tempted to join gangs, to find acceptance. If they don't find acceptance in their home, to look for it in a gang or among other friends, might not be healthy. So what you want to do is to raise your child with high levels of self-confidence. That does not mean arrogance or pride in a bad way, but just that they realize their dignity as a child of God. They realize their worth, that their worth is the blood of Christ. If you look up at that cross, you see that's how much you're worth, that's how much your kids are worth, that Jesus died for each one of you, for each of your children. You have to keep reminding your kids how valuable they are, how precious they are, how sacred they are. See, the dignity of the human person, the dignity of human life means that your children are children of God, and they have to realize that. See, children that have that self-respect, that self-dignity, will do better in school, they'll get better grades, they hang around better kids, they excel in music and sports and in the youth group. The kids that don't have that levels of self-dignity as a child of God get involved in drugs, alcohol, promiscuity. They pick the wrong friends. They pick the wrong gang. And this is what leads them along the wrong path. So one of the best things you can do for your children is to create an environment where they know that they're loved, where they feel that they are loved. It's not important just to know intellectually that they're loved. They have to feel
your love, through your affection for them, your tenderness, your hugs, your words. You read the five love languages. You know, the kids and adults as well have different wavelengths in which they like to give love and receive love. Some through verbal talking, like telling your kids that you love them. Others through a physical hug. Others through writing a note or an act of kindness or an act of service. So you can read the five love languages. So create that environment where your children will grow and blossom, where their virtues and good qualities will develop. Again, you have to discipline them until they're able to discipline themselves to be able to develop these good habits. I'd recommend reading the book Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World by Zig Ziglar, the great Christian author, Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World. Gary Smalley's book, The Key to Your Child's Heart. Read anything that Gary Smalley's written about relationship between husbands and wives, and The Key to Your Child's Heart, one of the best books I've ever come across to open the child's heart to their parents. So to wrap up, remember what discipline is. Discipline in general is that power, that ability to do what you know you should do, when you should do it, whether you like it or not, and whether you feel like it or not. It's so important. And then the daily disciplines of our spiritual life. The morning offering, the act of contrition in the evening, daily mass, communion, liturgy of the hours, rosary, spiritual reading, spiritual listening, regular confession, and then discipline your children, which means helping them form good habits. Helping them form good habits. And so that their lives will be on the right path. Good habits lead to virtue and to holiness. So don't forget that success is tons of discipline. That's what success is. Success is tons of discipline. Hundreds of hidden hours repeated each day. So it's the key to success in any field, in sports and music, and especially in the spiritual life. God bless you.